Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Yumah Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah begins now to discuss in greater detail, as we have learned, the special avoidance that took place on Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol brought special kabbonis and he did the avoidance in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So after the Kohen Gadol, as we learned, put on the big day zav in the morning and took care of being makriv, the karban tamid shel shachar. We learned he removed those big day zav, and now he put on the big day lovin. And the first thing that he did after he put on the big day lovin and went and the tefillah and the kiddush yadayim reglayim, he would bring a bull for a chatos, and he would say vidui on the par. Since this par is a karban chatos in the category of kachi kachim, all kachi kachim are brought in the tzofen, in the north side of the azara, and our Mishnah will discuss where exactly in that he stood as he did this vidui. This karban, the purpose of this karban is to be mechaper on the aveira of tumas migdash v'kedoshav. So somebody entered the Beis HaMikdash when he wasn't Tahor, or he ate Kachim when he was Tamei, and he wasn't aware of doing this Aveira, the halacha is that this carbon that he brought is Mechaper in that Aveira. So says the Mishnah, Balai Eitzel Parai, the Kohen Gadol approached his par, Parai Haya Oimid Beinu Ulam Elam Mizbeach. We know as we look at the Azara goes from the different Ezra's Noshim, and Ezra's Yisrael, and Ezra's Kohanim. Then we have the Mizbeach, and then we have the open area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, the opening to the Beis HaMikdash, that foyer. And that area is where the Kohen Gadol stood. And the Kohen Gadol had his own par. As the Tosuk says, the Torah has the Kohen Gadol, v'hikves par chatas ha-shaloi, the Kohen Gadol has to bring a par from his own funds, and he approaches this par. The Rosh, the head of that par, was facing Doraim, and its back was facing north. Upanav Lamarav, as we're going to learn the Gemara, and its head was tilted to the west. The Kohen Omer v'Mizrach, and the Kohen stands to the east side. Upanav Lamarav, facing the Marav, again facing the Beis HaMikdash. Soymich shtei yodav alav, and he does smicha on top. We're putting his hands on top of the par. And Torah says explicitly, v'samach shtei arosh par v'kachay omer. And this is what the Kohen Gadol said as his vidui. He said, "Ona Hashem, avisi poshati chatos lufanecha. I did aveira." And we'll discuss exactly the definition of each one of these words. Ani uvesi, I and my family. Ona Hashem, kapano, lavonis, lupshom, chatoim, shchatosi, shavisim, shoshvati, lfenach, ani uvesi, kekos, subasaris, mash, avdecha, as the Pasuk says, kibioim azay, chapa, aleichem, letar eschem, mikocha, to sechel, fne Hashem, tataru, vehem, oinem, achrov, and all of the people who were standing there in the Azara, said Baruch Shem Kvay Machusa Elohim Oved. So there's a big machloikus Rishonim, exactly what shame did the Kohen Gadol pronounce as he said this vidui. The Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonason said that he said the shame Yudke Vovke, but the Kohen Gadol was able to enunciate the shame Yudke Vovke. We know that when we say Yudke Vovke, we say it as Adnus. But when he pronounced it with as Yudke Vovke. That's the Rosh's opinion. Other Rishonim say there was a shame that the Kohen Gadol used that was made out of Yud Beis Oishis, out of twelve letters. And the Rav Haigoin says there was a shame Hashem made up of 42 letters, and that was the shame that the Kohen Gadol used. The Tosfos Masechta Sota quotes a very interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that we, Yisraelim, may not know how to pronounce the shame. So here we're learning that they stood there and they heard how the Kohen Gadol pronounced that name. Says the Yerushalmi that everybody who heard the Shem Hashem would forget its pronunciation immediately after hearing it. And Darizal says that the Shem Hashem that came out from the Kohen Gadol's mouth came out, so to speak, by itself. He didn't even have kavana how to pronounce it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into his mouth, and he says that's pshat, what it says in the pasuk, b'chol mokem she'asker shmi. Asker means it by itself. So the halacha is that the Kohen Gadol first would say vidui on the averus of his of he himself and his family, and then he would say vidui for the other kahanim, and then he would say a vidui for all of Klal Yisrael. The Rishonim point out that when he said vidui for himself, he didn't only have himself in mind, he had his wife in mind. As the pasuk says, v'chipa ba'adoy ba'ad beisoy, beisoy zu ishtoy. And Ritva says that beisoy doesn't only include his wife, but beisoy includes his immediate family. It's also interesting to point out that the first time the Kohen Gadol said vidui, he said ona hashem, with a hay before the shame. The second time he said ona b'shem. So the Rishonim explain, the second time he said ona b'shem was a tefillah. He was the first time he said ona shame was a vidui, and the second time he said ona b'shem was a tefillah. And everybody there, as we learned, who heard him say Hashem's name, was standing there, and they said that as we're going to learn, with Hayu Mishtachvim, we bow down. And as we learned in the Medrash, although all year when Baruch Shem Kvay Machusa Loilam Voad is pronounced, it's pronounced quietly. On Yom Kippur, when they say Baruch Shem Kvay Machusa Loilam Voad, it's pronounced out loud. There's a number of opinions in the Rishonim exactly who were the people that were Kayim Mishtachvim Noiflim. Some say that is all the people in the Azara, and they say that every time the Kohen Gadol announced Hashem's name, that's what happened. Others say that it was only when he said the vidui on Klal Yisrael. But when they said the vidui for the Kohanim or for his family, that then they said Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus Lo Yolam Vod, but not everybody necessarily bowed down. Begins the Gemara. So we learned that since this par that the Kohen Gadol is bringing is a Korban Chatos, and a Korban Chatos has to be slaughtered in the Tzofen. So we learned that the area in the Azara that's in Ulam L'Mizbeach has this din that it's Tzofen. Ask the Gemara, Man Shamed Le D'Omer, who is the Man D'Omer that actually holds that the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach is considered Tzofen? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Hi. It's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Because, says the Gemara quotes a Braisa, the Tanya, the Braisa says, Ezet Tzofen, exactly what is the area that's considered Tzofen? Says the Gemara, Mikir Shal Mizbeach Tzfoni, from the northern wall of the Mizbeach, at Kosol Hazara, until the northern wall of the Hazara, Ukenegikom Mizbeach Kuloi, that entire area, which is parallel to the Mizbeach, is considered Tzofen. As we've discussed, the opinion that the Hazara is made up of the Ezras Yisrael, which was 11 Amos long, till the Ezra's Kahanim. The Ezra's Kahanim was another 11 Amos long. And then there was Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, half of it was 32 Amos wide, half on the north side of the Azara, and half on the south side of the Azara. And the Gemara is saying on the northern side, that's where the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach's wall and the northern wall, That was the area that's considered tzofen, where the carbon, which is kodesh hakodashim, had to be prepared. But says the Gemara, Rav Elazar of Shimon Maisif, Rav Elazar of Shimon adds to what is considered tzofen, af bein ulam lemizbeach, the area in front of it, bein ulam lemizbeach, that also is considered the area of, that also is considered tzofen. And then says the Gemara, Rabbi Maisif, Rabbi X says that af makom drisus ragli kohanim, if we go in the opposite direction, and before we approach, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon's opinion was the area after Mizbeach, closer to the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi speaks about the area before the Mizbeach, closer to the Azara. Rabbi Maisif, af makom drisus ragli kohanim, af makom drisus ragli Yisrael, the area of the Azara, which is where the Ezra's Kohan, the Azara of the Kohanim, Azara of the Yisrael, that area is also considered tzofen. However, says the Gemara, says the Brais, Amin Khalifa Salafnim, there was the area that Ulam jutted out wider than the entrance of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It jutted out wider, and that area is where they kept it's called the Beis HaKhalifas, where they're like cubbies in the wall where it jutted out. It jutted out 15 amos on each side, and they kept the knife there. That's what's called Beis HaKhalifas. That area, says the Gemara, even Rebbe will agree, HaKamoidim Shepossel, that area is not considered tzofen, that's an area where you could do Kodesh HaKadoshim. So says the Gemara, Lema, so it seems that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. It's following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, the like Rebbe. Because it seems, says the Gemara, that Rebbe agrees to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that the area Beit Ulam Mizbeach is not considered tzofen. The Gemara is assuming that when Rebbe is expanding the area of tzofen, what Rebbe means to do by expanding that area and saying it's the area before the Mizbeach will also be included in Tzofen. But the area after the Mizbeach, Rebbe will not hold as Tzofen. But our Mishnah said that the area of the place where this was prepared, where the power of the Kohen Gadol was prepared, was Ben Ulam Mizbeach, says the Gemara Filotemer Rebbe. No, that's not the way to understand Rebbe. But rather, the way to understand the Mishnah is that Rebbe's telling us, Hashtab, Rebbe had Rabbi Yehuda Moisef. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said that the only place that's considered Azara, considered Tzofen, is the area that's parallel to the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Lai Moisef, he says that if he holds that the area which doesn't have the Kedusha so much is considered Azara, is considered Tzofen. So certainly the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach, which is even a higher level of Kedusha, given that it's so close to the actual Beis HaMikdash, is certainly Tzofen. Says the Gemara, so if that's the case, why would we think differently? Why would we think that Rebbe would not include that area? Rebbe is obviously trying to expand the area of Tzofen, not limit the area of Tzofen. Answers the Gemara, non hachikaminin. This is what the Gemara meant to assume when it said that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rebbe. E Rebbe he, because if we're going to want to say that our Mishnah could follow the opinion of Rebbe, nukmi bekula azara. Why do we have to strictly put the par and the koyin, as we learned in the Mishnah, Bein Ulam Mizbeach, why can't we put it in the entire area of the Azara? And the way Rashi explains, certainly the Gemara assumed we could put it next to the Mizbeach, because that's what the Torah says, that the preparation of the par is al Yerach HaMizbeach. But the Gemara assumed that if Rebbe is correct and that the entire area is considered tzofen, so then should be allowed to do the avoda in the entire area. Says the Gemara, Ella, what do you want to say? That our Mishnah is following the opinion of Elazar of Shimon and that the area of Beit Ulam Mizbeach is considered tzofen. But ask the Gemara, if it's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, the way we've been learning, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon certainly agrees that the area between the Mizbeach and Tzofen wall of the Azara is considered Tzofen. So why didn't we say that Mizbeach Lemez Kaisel, that that's where you could do the avoid of the power? El Mai Islach Lemeimer, why didn't we say so? Because we want to specifically do the avoida as close to the heichel as possible, mishum choshed the kohen gadol, because we don't want the kohen gadol should have to carry the dam of the par. He's weak, and we don't want him to carry that par. The Rebbe Nami. So now, if we're saying that Rebbe holds that the entire tzofen area, and the way we've been learning in our shir, there are really three parts that make up the Tzofen area. There's the area between Ulam and Mizbeach. There's the area next to the Mizbeach. And then Rebbe included even the area in the Ezra's Kahanim and Ezra's Yisrael and the Tzofen side, and the north side is considered Tzofen. And yes, Rebbe holds that all of those areas are considered Tzofen. But Rebbe held it would be, but the Gemara is saying we're learning in our Mishnah that even though Rebbe agrees that all of those areas are considered tzofen, but because we have the consideration of chulsha the kohen gadol, we want to bring the kohen gadol as close to the heichel as possible, and that's why he does it over there. Here too, that's why we're going to understand why it's done in that area, not because he excludes it. Everybody will agree we want to do it in the place where it involves the least bother to the carbon for in bringing the carbon. As we bring a carbon, so we know every carbon has to have Shechita Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrikas Adam, Haktaris Emrim on the Mizbeach. But when an individual brings his own carbon, there's another requirement, and that is that he has to do Smicha before he does Shechita. The only exceptions where private carbon is brought and Smicha is not required are by a Bechor, Maisa, and Pesach. By most kabbonis, as you bring the carbon, you also do vidui. The way smich is done is the owners put their hands on the head of the carbon, as the Torah Kedosha says, v'samach yodoi al roish ha'oila. And the smicha has to be done b'kol koichai, with all of his power, with all of his might. And there's a special halacha, shloi dover choitzitz, there should be nothing in between his hands and the head of the animal. The reason it has to be done that way, says the Migdash David, because as we just said, during the smicha, the vidui is said. Vidui is a critical part of bringing a carbon. And if we don't put the head, if we're not going to put the hand, your head, if the owner's hands will not be on the head of the mizbeach, on the head of the carbon, it will not be obvious that he's doing it l'shem that carbon. The only way we can know that that's being done that way is by having smicha and vidui done at the same time. Furthermore, the halacha is that tekel of smicha shchita, immediately after the smicha, shchita should be done. And therefore, as we've been discussing in our shir, there are specific areas by kachakachim, particularly where the carbon has to be slaughtered, so that's why the smicha should be done at the same place as the shechita is going to be done. So we learned Rosh Ladaram Upanav Lamarav. Ask the Gemara, Heichem Shkachslo, how do we have Rosh Ladaram Upanav Lamarav? That Darim goes with Tzofen and Marav goes with Mizrach. Amarav, Baikimus Roshay. As we learned in the Mishnah, he turns the head of the animal. That means the animal standing soften to Dorim, but we turn it towards Mariv. So ask the Gemara, if we want him to turn it to Mariv, Nukum Elahed, yeah, why don't we just put him directly that direction? Why do we put him soften to Dorim and turn his head? Amar Abaye, we're concerned, Gzeru Shema Yarbitz Glolim, and if we're going to turn him that way, his back will be facing the Mizbeach, and it will be not respectful if he will have waste exit his body at that time. Tana Banu Keitzet Tzoymech, how does he do smicha? Hazevach Oymi B'Tzofen, as we just learned, the smicha has to be done at the same place as the shechita. And if we learned that the shechita is supposed to be done b'tzofen, so too should the smicha be done b'tzofen. Ufanav lemarav, as we just said, but with his head turned to the west side. Vasaymach, when the person does smicha, the kohen or other kabbalists, the owners who do smicha, oimid b'mizrach, stands with his back to the Mizrach, Ufanav Lamarav in his face to the west, Umaniach Shtei Yodov, and he puts his two hands, Bein Shtei Kronos Shel Azavach, between the two horns of the animal, Uvad Shtei Dovach Choytzitz, Bein Oy LeBein Azavach. As we learned, there's not allowed to hear, not allowed to have anything between his hands and the carbon. And in fact, the Tarsus Yishadim quotes the Tarsus Kahanim that the way he does smicha is by having both hands on the head of the animal. One hand may not be on top of another hand because that will be considered a chatzitza. The question is, if one hand is considered a chatzitza on top of another hand, so why is the halacha that if somebody needs to cover his head, he can't use his hand as a yarmulke? But here we're seeing that one hand is considered a chatzitza. The Magen Avraham says it's not considered a proper covering, and the Achrayim ask, why not? If here we see it is considered chatzitza. So the Chazon Yecheskel answers that even though typically a hand can't be considered a covering on another part of the body, because one part of the body is bottled to the other part of the body. Here, there's another halacha, says the Chazon Yecheskel or Cheskel Abramsky. The halacha is that the Torah requires that both hands be used to accomplish smicha. So if both hands need to be used to accomplish smicha, if one hand is on top of another hand, we're not doing smicha in the proper fashion. And therefore, even though it's not an issue of chatzitza, but there's another consideration. You need to use both hands for smicha, and if one hand is on top of the other hand, you're not doing that. Umesvada, and he says vidui al chatos havoy chatos. When he's saying smicha, when he brought a karm chatos, and he's saying the vidui, he says vidui for whatever avera caused him to bring the karm chatos al osham. When he's bringing a karm osham, he says smicha havoy osham for whatever avera caused him to bring a carbon asham. Al oila, when somebody is bringing a carbon oila, or avoin leket shichu peya, maisani, we know that when a person is collecting from his field, the halach is if he leaves bundles, he has to leave them, that's leket. Shichu is he forgot bundles, he has to leave them there. Peya is he has to leave a corner of the field for aniyim, or maisani, there are certain years where maisani has to be left over, and if somebody did not do this, if somebody did not leave leket, that the halacha is that anything that fell, he has to leave, or anything he forgot, he has to leave, etc. For that, the carbon oil is mechaper. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Haglili. The only time the carbon oil is mechaper is an alasei. We know that if somebody, that there's certain averis that are alasei. The best example that we could give is to steal. One is, of course, may not steal. But it's a loisasei, shenitik lasei. Because the Torah says, loisigzoil, we may not steal. But the Torah says that if somebody chas v'shom stole, v'heshiv esagzeila, he should return what he stole. And since there's a way of repairing the aveira that you committed, that's considered a lav hanitik lasei. There's no malchus for lav hanitik lasei, and since there's no mav hanitik lasei, there's no malchus, the halacha is that the carbon oila is what is mechaper for that averus. So what the Gemara is saying that everybody agrees, that when there's a malchus, when the Torah prescribes an oinish for the aver that the person committed, then when there's no oynish, then the oil is mechaper. If there's an oynish, then we don't have to bring an oil. But now the Gemara delves in to ask the Ma'akamufki, what is the machloikis? How do we understand the machloikis between Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Kiva? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, the way to understand the machloikis is we look at Lav Nevela Kamufki. The Torah speaks about the Lav, the one may not eat, Levela. And the question is, if somebody, Chas V'Sholem, ate a Nevela, does he get Malkus for it or not? Because if we look at the Lav of the Nevela, the Torah HaKadosh says, L'soich l'kol Nevela, l'gerash b'sharecha tatnena, v'ochloi, the Torah says that what you should do with the Nevela is sell it to a Nachri, give it to the Ger to eat. Now, even though this is a Lav, that's followed by an essay of what should you do with the Nevela, one cannot understand that this is a Lav Hanitik L'Asei. If somebody ate the Nevela, it can't be corrected by selling it or giving it away. It's not here anymore. So the question is, a lav hanitik l'asei clearly means where what you did could be corrected by doing that say. Here, it can't be corrected. So it's considered a lav that's followed by an assay. And the question is, a lav that's followed by an assay, but it's not corrected by an assay, is that considered a lav for which there is malchus? Rabbi Kiva Savar, Ma'amal Yehu. This is not considered a lav hanitik l'asei. The assay doesn't correct the lav, and therefore there's malchus. And if there's malchus, there's no carbon oila. The Rabbi Yosef Glili Savar, Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that indeed, nobody could argue that this is considered a lav hanitik l'asei. It's clearly not a lav hanitik l'asei. However, it's not the same as the lav that the Torah speaks about when the Torah says you get malchus. The Torah HaKadosha, when it speaks about a malchus by a lav, it's lav de chasima. Lav where the Torah says, loisachsim shor bedisha. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal. There, the Torah doesn't mention any assay after the lav. So says Rabbi Yosef Glili, that even though this lav is clearly not a lav anitik l'assay, on the other hand, it's not similar to the Lav de Chasima. And if it's not similar to the Lav de Chasima, there is no Malchus. That's the way Rev Yirmiyah explained the Machlaikus. Abaye has a different interpretation of the Machlaikus. He says, the Kulam Lav de Nevel Lav Mal Yehi. We can't consider this a Lav Anitik L'Asei because what we're doing does not correct the Lav. What is the Machlaikus? V'hocha, and the machloikus is when the Torah says by leket shichu peya. The Torah says betazav kamifgi. The Torah says laoni ulager tazav esam. The Rabbi Kiva sova tazav mikara. The Torah means before you should not take the leket shichu peya for yourself. You should leave it for oni, and therefore it's not meant to teach us that this is a lav that could be corrected. And therefore, there's going to be malchus for this lav. And if there's malchus for this lav, the carbon oila is not what's mechaper for this lav. Rabbi Yossi Sover, Rabbi Yossi Glili Sover, that what the Torah means with the word tazoif is that if somebody did the wrong thing, and he took the lechah shechapei maisa oni for himself instead of giving it to the oni, the Torah says, I have a way of correcting what you did. Go and give the oni what you took, and even if what you actually took isn't any more available, so you'll give him the value of what you took, and therefore he considers it a lav hanitik l'asei, and if it's a lav hanitik l'asei, therefore there is no malchus, and that's where you give. That's where the carbon oil comes in its place. Tana Rabbanan, Ketzim his father. How did the Kohen Gadol say vidui on his par on Yom Kippur? He said, avisi poshati v'chotasi. The words that he used were avisi poshati v'chotasi. And says the Gemara, Kain v'sor ha-mishtalech. We're going to speak in Mitzvah Shem about the sor ha-mishtalech, the sor la-zozel, the sor that was sent, la-zozel, was pushed down the mountain. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, who Omer, v'sfad alav es akol avonis b'Yisrael, v'skob sheyem l'kol chatosam. So we see again that the order is Avonis Pshoim Chatoim. Says the Gemara V'chein B'Moshe. And so too would we find that Moshe Rabbeinu said the Shloshe Esrim Midos Shel Rachmim. Hoimer Moshe Rabbeinu said Noisa Ovim Fesh V'Chato. So that's the proper order, Divrei Remeya. V'Chom Oimrim, Chom say Avonis. Let's understand what it means. Avonis means hazadonis, somebody who did an aveira deliberately. V'keino oimer, and so too do we find that the Torah Kedoshah says regarding somebody who Rachman Tzlon worshipped avodah zara. The Torah says hikaris tikaris anefshahi avoina ba. Pshaim is even worse. El amardim. So the first person did an aveira. He did it b'mezid, but it wasn't lahachis. He did latayovin. He wanted to eat a non-kosher piece of meat. He wanted to drive his car on Shabbos. But not that he did it lahachis. Pshoim means that he didn't have any specific pleasure, benefit from the aveira. He did it just lahachis against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'keira oimer, as we find that type of wording. Melech maya poshibi means to rebel. The person did an aveira as an act of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vaimer, and we have another pasuk that teaches us that concept. The pasuk says, "V'as tifshel levana be'esahi," that the city called Levana rebelled. So we see that tifsha means to rebel. L'chol chatosam ela shkogas v'keira oimer nefesh kisechta b'shkogam. So now the Gemara, the Chachamim continue commenting, and they say, "Me'achas v'adal zdoinus v'amaradim." If you hold that when we save Vidui, we say Avisi and Pushati, and we speak about Mezid and Lahachis, what's the point? Shechoizer umesvada avoinus. Why would somebody, Ashkagus, why would somebody say Vidui on the smaller Aveira of Shoigig if he already said Vidui on the more serious Aveira? Ella, that's why the Chacham hold that the proper order, Mesvada, Chatosi of Avisi Pushatu Fenacha Ani Uvesi, and he says, V'kein David, Huaymer. And so do we find that David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Chatonu Avaviseinu, first Chait, Shoigig, Hevinu, Mezid, Vershanu, V'kein, Bishloima. And similarly do we find Bishloima HaMelech, Huaymer, Chatonu, Hevinu, Hershanu, V'kein, V'Daniel. And so too do we find that Daniel HaNovi said, Huaymer, Chatonu, Vavinu, Vershanu, Maradnu. Ask the Gemara, but as we said, the Remeir, his opinion, is actually based on a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Ella, ma'o shama Moshe. How do we understand what Moshe Rabbeinu said? When he said, noisi ovev v'fesh v'chato. Oma Moshe l'fen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ani shloilem, he begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'shosh Yisrael chaitnu f'necha v'oisen tshuva. When Klal Yisrael do tshuva, asay lehem zdoinus shkogus. I beg of you that the averus that they did should be considered in the category of a shogig. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, why did Moshe Rabbeinu ask that the averus should be considered like a shogig? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu ask that the averus should be considered like a zchus through tshuva? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ma Hashem shoyel mimach. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of us? Ki'im lira. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yerushmayim. And we know there are two ways of doing tshuva. There's tshuva mahava, somebody does tshuva out of love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's tshuva meira, when somebody does tshuva because of fear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When somebody does tshuva meahava, then the averis becomes zuchyos. But since Moshe Rabbeinu expected Klal Yisrael to do tshuva meira, so then the averus become shkogus, not zochiyos. So the truth of the matter is that the Mefarshim ask, we understand the opinion of Chachamim. We start from the smaller avera, shogig, and work our way up to mezid and to lahachis. But how do we understand? We need to understand Rameyer's opinion, how he says we speak about the bigger averus and then we speak about the smaller averus. So I saw that the Sefer Oirich Yesharim explains. He says, if somebody has a stain on his garment, and he has a big stain or a small stain, What is he going to be concerned with first? He's going to be concerned first with the big stain. It's noticeable. It makes it very unappealing, his garment. So too, averis are stains. And since averis are stains, we need to get, Rameya holds that the first stain we need to get rid of are the large stains, the mazid, and the pesha. And then afterwards, we could deal with the small stains. But then I saw that Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch has a different approach. He says that what happens is that how does it come to a person should do averis b'shogeg? And averis b'shogeg is also an avera. He says because if a person has a lax attitude to averis, if a person has lax attitude to averis, it's going to cause that ultimately he's going to do all sorts of averis. So he says a lax attitude, which only is a shogeg, would not lead necessarily to a person doing an avera b'mezid or b'mered. But a person who has such a lax attitude that he's doing averis b'mezid and he's doing averis b'mered, he easily could turn around. He easily could turn around and do an avera b'shogeg. And that's why he says we understand Rameya's opinion. His opinion is that first we have to do tshuva on the big averis, because the big averis that he did caused that he should do even the smaller averis. But as I saw that the Brisker Rav explained, that one should not assume that shogeg is not an avera. What is pshat shogeg? Pshat and shogeg is that the person didn't realize what he's doing is an avera. Why didn't he realize what he's doing in avera? So it could be for one of two reasons. It could be because he didn't learn. If he didn't know. But that's not an excuse. We're obligated to learn and know what we're supposed to do. And on the other hand, maybe he didn't pay attention to what he's doing. But that also isn't a valid excuse. A person is obligated to pay attention to what he does and what he did. And therefore, he certainly has to do tshuva. So I saw the Rav Shach Zatzal in his Sefer, Avi Ezri, asks a question. If a person only did averis b'shogeg, does he have to say chatosi avisi pshati, or does he only say chatosi? So he says that, as we just explained, that even when somebody does an avera b'shogeg, it's not pure. As we just explained, avera b'shogeg is also considered an avera. Every avera b'shogeg has in it elements of mazid. And therefore, even if the person is certain that he's saying that he's doing tshuva for an avera that he did b'shogeg, since there are elements of mazid into it, in that avera, it only appropriate, says the Avi Ezri, that he should say chatosi avisi pshati. Amar Rav Abba Shmuel, Amar Rav, halacha k'divrei chachamim. The halacha is like the chachamim that we say chatosi avisi pshati. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Yochav Rabim, halacha k'rabim. We have a klal kol ha'Torah kula that we always follow the opinion of the Rabim. Answers the Gemara. Ma d'tam ma'astaba tamid Rameya. We should follow the opinion of Rameya, the Kamasai le'kro. The pasuk that we just read by Moshe Rabbeinu follows that order. Kamash Mlon. That's why Rav had to teach us, no, we follow opinion of Chachamim. And it tells us the Gemara, who the Nochus Kamei de Rava. There was somebody who was the Shlich Tzibur. And the Gemara often uses the word the Nochus went down. What's that went down? So the Magen Avraham says that in many places they had the Amid, where the Shlich Tzibur stood, in a place that went down. As the Pasuk says, Mimamakim, Karesicha Hashem. And therefore, since it's appropriate from a depth, Memakiv Karesicha Hashem, Hahud Nochis Kamei Rava, the Baal Tefillah would go down. Ovid Krameya, and he said the Nusach, where Krameya said, Omalei, so Rava said to him, Shafkas Rabbonon, Vavda Krameya, are you ignoring the opinion of the Rabbonon and following the opinion of Rameya? Omalei, so the Shlich Tzibah said to him, Krameya Sivilei, I follow the opinion of Rameya, could exhibit safer rights to Moshe, as we find Moshe Rabbeinu Paskin. So the Ramban says that even though we see that rabbi didn't say anything back to him, that doesn't change the halacha. The halacha still follows, as we learned, the opinion of Chachamim, but he does want to suggest that if somebody said it in the wrong order, the halacha is that we don't make him repeat. Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says, Vikr v'pa'aron is parachatas shaloi, v'chipa ba'adoi u'ba'ad beisoi. Says the Gemara, the kaparas tvarim atem akos bedaber, that the kohen has to, that the kapara is affected by the kohen gadol saying vidui. Says the Brisa, at the oimer kaparas tvarim ayenal kaparas tamim. Maybe the way the kapara is affected is not from the vidui, but rather the zrika is what affects the kapara. Says the Gemara, hare don. This is what I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn, says the Gemara, says the Brisa, Gzeirah Shava. Nemar kan, regarding the Korban Chatos, the Torah used the word kapara. And v'nemar lahalam, we mentioned a few moments ago, the Sar Mishtaleach. And the Torah uses the word kapara when it speaks about the Sar Mishtaleach. Ma kapara amura, the Sar. When the Torah speaks about the Sar Mishtaleach, it means Dvorim, because there is no Zrika Saddam, but a Sar la'azazel. Af kapara amur bepar, so too the par that the Torah speaks about by the parachatas obviously means dvorim. Vim nefshech loimer, and if you're going to want to argue on this, harei oimer, the pasuk says by the parachatas, vikar arnas parachatas shaloi, v'chipa ba'adu ba'ad beisoi, and that pasuk speaks that the kapara was already affected at dying on Nishra Par. There was no Shechita even. And certainly if there was no Shechita, there was no Zrika. And yet the Torah says that the Par, we already had the Kapara. Must be that we had the Kapara, but Dvarim, through the Vidui that the Kohen Gadol said. So the Gemara says, Vim Nav Shechloim. The Gemara goes back to the Brisa. And the Brisa said that maybe we won't want to learn from the Sar Lazazel. Why not? From where would we learn differently? Says the Gemara, what the Brisa meant to say was, v'chi teima neila misara nasa b'fnim, that there was another sor where we know that they brought two seirim, echel Hashem v'echel Azazel. We went through a geirul, through a lottery, to determine which will be the sor Hashem and which will be the sor Azazel. And the sor which identified to be the sor Hashem, the pasuk says, v'chi pa'al ha-kodesh, metumas b'nei yisom p'shem l'chotadosam, kaparasa b'domim. Because this pasuk, the Torah says, this pasuk that says that sor brings a kapara is mentioned after the Zrika Saddam. So since it's mentioned after Zrika Saddam, it's obvious that the kapara is affected through the Zrika Saddam. So the Gemara's question, the Bryce's question was, instead of learning the kapara from the power of the Kohen Gadol, that it's affected with the vidui, that we learned that from the Sar Lazazel, why, asked the Brisa, shouldn't we learn from the Sar Lashem, where there the kapara is affected through the dam? Of that, and therefore the Brisa concluded by saying, Hareya Omer, the pasuk by the Sar, by the par, says v'chiper, and that pasuk of v'chiper is stated at the point v'dayin lo'y nishkat hapar, and therefore we learn it from there, and as the Siach Yitzchak points out, really, it would make more sense to learn the par, the kapara of the par from the Sar Lashem versus learning it from the Sar Lazazel. Because they're both very similar, that they're both kabanas that we actually shechted and that we actually did Zrik Saddam inside the Beis HaMikdash. So since, and they both also affect kapara on Tumas Migdash V'Kahanov, the Kadoshov. So since they have all of these similarities, the Brisa has suggested that it makes more sense to learn the kapara of the par from the Sar Lashem versus learning it from the Sar Lazazel. But now that we have this extra pasuk that clearly indicates that the kapara is affected before the Shechita, it's a raya that the kapara of the par of the Kohen Gadol is affected through the vidui.